Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Glad to have you with us today. I'll touch on a couple of things briefly. We're planning to have a finance committee meeting to look at the budget for next year this Thursday. So if that's you, we'd love to have you. If you'd like it to be you, we'd love to have you. We are going to look at 7 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock, which is what the bulletin says. So Neil, poke Chip and tell him 7 o'clock, not 6 o'clock on Thursday. That finance committee meeting, we're going to look at 7 o'clock on Thursday because enough people can't do 6 o'clock. Again today, after church, the Silly Group is going to be selling bookmarks appropriately, I guess we'd probably say they're giving away bookmarks for donations. So whatever you'd like to donate. The idea had been for you to be able to use the bookmarks in your worship book. A lot of those bookmarks that had been present sort of had gotten torn up, and so this would be a good way to support them and get you a good place to mark your hymns too. So see them outside, I think, right after worship, and they'll be happy to get you a bookmark and be glad for you to support their work too. There is something happening next week that involves lunch, and that's all that I know. And so if anyone knows more about that and wants to say about that, they're welcome to. But I think no one's told me anything, but I keep seeing in the bulletin that there's lunch after worship next week. So come on and eat. Does anybody know anything more about that? Come on and eat. Okay, that's all I'm going to say because that's all I know. And then we've been putting an emphasis for a long time now, I feel like, I hope some of you feel like too, on worship in this month of October. So I'm glad you're here and encourage you to make a point to be part of worship with us every Sunday in October. Let's work on our habits a little bit this month and grow this habit of worship, work on forming that new habit as we look beyond October, but give me that special effort this month. Are there other announcements we should be aware of today?
Thank you, Mentor Reed.
Please.
Thank you for your prayers, cards, telephone calls, and words of comfort during this difficult time for me and my family. Thank you for the beautiful prayer shawl and all the blessings that came with it. I will feel your comfort and love each time I use it. Each act of kindness is greatly appreciated. Mary Malone.
I just remembered that something you all might want to be aware of. There is a fairly large hornet's nest in one of those bushes straight out this door right here, straight out in front. And we hit it with some spray last night, and it may be just fine because I haven't seen any hornets come out of it at all. And I even threw some things at it to see what would happen. But especially if you got kids, I wouldn't be playing at that front bush out there until we can go at it a little more as we go forward. We wish happy birthday this week to Bobby, and happy anniversary to Robin and Karen, Todd and Amy, and Marty and Chris. Is there anybody else we ought to add to that list this week? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Stand as we begin on page 94 in the front of your book. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on page 203 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Mercy on us, Christ.
Let us pray. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If the children will come up this way for the children's message.
Good morning. So today, Pastor Matt is going to be talking a lot about faith. And we've already heard some faith being played on the piano and organ this morning. So today, when we hear about faith, faith is when you can't see something, but you still believe it. Do we see God or Jesus in person? Yeah, in books, but do we see him right here with us now? Do we see him? But do we feel him? Yes. Do we know he's here? That is faith. So today, I'm going to tell you a little story to help you understand what faith means. And I'm going to need a farmer, and I'm going to need a little girl. So who would like to be my farmer? Will you be my farmer, Mason? Come on up. All right, and I don't have a big rake anymore. My children have outgrown that, so here's a little rake. And I need a little girl. Isabel, you want to be the little girl? Okay, so Isabel, you're going to be on the farm, so let's have you come over here, and you're going to be praying, okay? So go ahead and get down on your knees and pray. There you go. Now, farmer, you got to listen carefully because you're going to have to find her in a minute, okay? So right now you're raking away, getting your garden ready. All right, you ready for the story? Here we go. One day, a little girl got lost in the woods on a farm. The farmer who owned the land found the little girl and said to her, "Don't be afraid. I'll take you home." The little girl looked up at him and with a smile said, "I'm not afraid. I knew you would come. I was waiting for you." "Waiting for me?" said the man. "What made you think I was coming?" "I was praying that you would come," said the little girl. "You were praying?" the farmer asked. "When I heard you, you were just saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What was that for?" She looked up again and said, "I wasn't sure exactly what to say. So I was praying all the letters of the alphabet and letting God put them together the way he wanted them. He knew I was lost, and he knew how to put the letters together better than I do." I thought that was a precious story to teach faith, because we might just say our ABCs and God knows what we mean and he puts it all together for us. That is faith, boys and girls. Thank you for my helpers. And we are going to end with a prayer. And then when we go to children's church today, we are going to think about the letters of the alphabet and how we can put them together to make a word that we might want to ask God for. So we're going to kind of continue this in children's church today. Let us pray. Father, help us use the faith we have and trust you to do the rest. Amen. All right, if you are coming to children's church, if you'll follow me.
The first reading on this 17th Sunday after Pentecost is from Habakkuk. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. For it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Look at the proud, their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord. The psalm for today is Psalm 37, 1 through 9. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of the wrongdoers. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act.
He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The second reading is from 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you, through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but he has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and an immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day that I am entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that you are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, Prepare supper for me. Put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
The apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith, and I don't blame them, because Jesus has been laying out all kinds of hard teachings in Luke's gospel account. Hard teachings about what it means to be a disciple and follow Jesus, like that you need to sell your possessions and give to the poor, that following Jesus has to come before everything else, like even your family, how following Jesus has real costs that ought to be considered before folks decide to join up and follow. That if you want to follow Jesus, you're likely to end up carrying your own cross. We've read many of these over the last few months as we move through the Gospel of Luke, and boy, to hear Jesus tell it, this disciple stuff is not for the faint of heart. And then on top of that, in the verses just before our reading for today started, Jesus says that if the same person sins against you 7 times in one day, you must forgive. So I can just imagine that these followers of Jesus who have already left their homes and their livelihoods to go with Jesus are feeling overwhelmed by these demands. To their credit, I guess, they go to Jesus for help. Increase our faith, they say. Give us a little more. Supersize me. Give me the extra large faith. Pump me up. I think this is maybe how we think about church sometimes, right? Show up one Sunday, fill up the tank, and that ought to last a while. Just give us a little more, Jesus. Increase our faith so that this life will be easier on us. But judging by how Jesus answers these apostles, it doesn't seem like Jesus thinks this is how faith works. Now, when we talk about faith biblically in the Bible, it's not so much talked about like a commodity, something that you swing by the store and pick up more of when you're running low. Biblically, faith is much more about a relationship of trust, specifically trust in God. And actually, all of our texts today that we heard point to this reality of faith as a relationship of trust in God. So in Habakkuk, faith looks like waiting on God with trust, even when everything seems to be falling apart. In Psalm 37, faith looks like not second-guessing God, even when the wicked seem to prosper. It's delighting in God and waiting patiently. Or in 2 Timothy, faith looks like relying on the power of God to endure the suffering that comes as a result of people's reaction to the proclamation of the gospel. Biblically, faith is always relational, a trust in God. So maybe it doesn't make sense to just ask for more of it, a faith handout, a trust handout. That's not how trust works in our lives, at least, right? Anybody ever been in any kind of relationship with anybody they trust? I hope everybody has at some point. How does that trust happen? It doesn't come from just asking for trust, right? Or just wanting it. Trust is usually more about proven track records over time, consistently living into the things that you say you're going to do. The cool thing about a relational faith, a trust in God, is that it works both ways, right? It's a two-way street. There's our faith, and that is our trust in God. But on the flip side, there is also God's part of the relationship, which is God's response of trust. And God's response is always faithfulness.
for us, God's faithfulness is crazy good news. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, God's faithfulness to us looks like forgiveness, hope, and life. God's faithfulness to us is the promise that the sin and death that plague this world do not and will not have the last word, that all things will be made new. That's what God's faithfulness to us looks like, and that's the big picture in which we place our trust. Our faithfulness is rooted in God's big picture, but our faithfulness happens on a much smaller scale. It's much more ordinary, but just as holy, I think. The kinds of things we ought not expect anybody to make a big deal of because we've only done what we ought to have done. It's like you want to be better at a sport or at an instrument. Well, there's no quick fix for that, right? Give me some more skill, God. No, you want those things to improve, you have to practice. You want to build a relationship of trust with somebody, with God. Doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time, over years of showing up, caring, and being true. This is the way I think that faith works. We practice it, and we live it out. If what we want to be about is increasing our faith, then there's no magic pill that I'm aware of or special dispensation. It comes from our habits, which is why I've been harping on our habits, like our worship habit this month. It's these everyday things like our habits that make up our faith. Sharing what we have with others regularly, worshiping together each week, building in times every day to pause throughout the day, showing kindness and welcome to those who are not used to receiving it, prayer, reading the Word of God. These are the ordinary, unsurprising, common ways that we grow in a relationship of faith with God. And then I think we ought to expect God to use those ordinary, common practices to do extraordinary things. And I was reminded of that again this week. On Friday, our women's group did for some young mothers what has been their common, ordinary thing to do over the last 14 years or so. They hosted a baby shower, our women did, for these three pregnant teenagers from the school down the road. And at this point, having done dozens of these showers, it's kind of like these women can do this thing in their sleep. The same people bring the same food. The table gets set up with the same centerpiece that goes in the same box that it's been in for I don't know how many years. And the parlor always gets laid out the same way with baby clothes. And the women invite me, and I stand up and in about 3 minutes say pretty much what I've said the last 10 times I did this. And it's basically always some variation of God loves you and your baby. The thing you're doing right now is hard, and we want to support you. And we're proud of the work that you're doing to have this baby and finish your high school too. And we'll pray for you, right? Same thing basically every time. And don't get me wrong, it's all really nice, right? It's a tremendous gesture of support for these young women. It's just that over the years, to us who have been involved in it, it's sort of become ordinary. But God is extraordinarily at work in this thing that we see as common. Because even if these girls walk out of here with no intentions of ever coming back, you know what has happened? First, we did no more than we ought to have done, right? We showed kindness to someone. We followed our calling from God to love. We did nothing more than we ought to have done. Two, these girls get some things that they need for them and their baby to be comfortable and safe. And that's a wonderful thing. And three, these young women remember that when they were going through something challenging, when they were facing a difficult struggle in their life, the people of God welcomed them and cared for them. No questions asked, no strings attached, right? They said, come in and let us love and care for you. Who knows how those seeds of love and care might sprout and grow in their lives down the road? We just don't know that. And that would be enough. It's our calling. It's what we ought to do without expecting a big fuss. But we got a glimpse into the extraordinary things God does with our little offerings of breakfast food and diapers this week when one of the young women came back in as cleanup was happening. She was just so moved by what had happened at the shower and the support that she'd received. She wanted to say thank you again to the women, and she wanted to ask about what it looked like to have her baby baptized. And all of us standing around, we knew this was a holy moment God had made out of our common offerings of diapers and sausage biscuits. I know I maybe sound like a broken record, but these small things matter. Our faith only grows if we tend to these mundane, day in and day out practices of faith. Scripture, prayer, worship, giving. These are the mustard seeds of our faith. And if we tend to them, our trust, our faith in God deepens and grows. And with that little bit that we bring, God moves mulberry bushes, mountains. God moves hearts. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe and affirm our baptism by the use of the Apostles' Creed found on the wall. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven.
Yes, amen.
with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us go to the Lord and pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Knowing the one in whom we trust and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers of the church, the world, and all in need. Increase the faith of your church. Give us courage when we hesitate to share your love. Renew in us your holy calling according to your own purpose and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Tend the garden of your creation that teems with all kinds of life. Restore us as caretakers of animals and plants, mindful of the generations to come. Lord, in your mercy. Destruction and violence are ever before us, and strife and contention rise up in many nations. Draw to yourselves all the people of the world, embolden them to strive for peaceful and just solutions to conflict. Lord, in your mercy. You promise life and wholeness to those who wait patiently for you. You hear those who cry out to you for help. Heal the sick and bind up the brokenhearted, and attend to all in need of your care, especially Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Walter, Bobby, Sheila, Aldine, Sheila, Lydia, Walt, Barbara, and the family of Barbara Gwaltney, Noah, Kevin, James, Vince, Lore, Tyler, Laura, Jen, family of Eric Walser, Judy, Misty, Alice, Al Woodham and Carrie Smith, stepfather, Dan Parks, Robert, Joyce, Bill and Becky, Gary, Frankie Young, Garland Essick, Jackie, the family of Jan Sprinkle, the family of Margaret Emily Mako, Frank, Cleston, our servicemen and women all over the world, and those unemployed looking for work, and those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy, rekindle your gift of love in this community. Bind together in Christ the weak and the strong, those with little faith and those with much help. Help us to respond to one another with Christ-like compassion. Lord, in your mercy. Trust and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Okay, thank you. I can't ever remember who's singing and who's not. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, sir.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Oh,
We stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us the feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as the bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Before everyone leaves, I would just like to follow up on the announcement that Pastor Matt made about the lunch next Sunday. This is just because luncheon, just because we love and we appreciate you all. We want to invite you to come to worship, and then in that great Lutheran tradition, share a great meal with us. There's nothing for you to bring. Everything will be provided. So please come.
Go in peace, serve the risen Lord.